As always, it's wonderful to see your faces. I saw more of you during the meditation than I do right now. Hopefully, everyone will return and turn on their cameras. So, tonight, as the sun sets, we transition from 5783 to 5784. At this time of year, I often recall an exchange on the old Tonight Show between Johnny Carson and comedian Buddy Hackett. It was shortly after the high holidays, and Johnny Carson wished Buddy Hackett a Happy New Year. Buddy Hackett thanked him and said, "You know, it's already 2 weeks into 5739, and I'm still writing 5738 on all my checks." The joke resonates with the theme of today's talk. Everything that arises passes. We are always in transition, always crossing over into something new, and at the same time, returning home again and again. Not only does the date that we write on our checks change, people hardly write checks anymore. Our young grandchildren will not even get the joke when they grow up. "What's a check?" they'll say. "Who's Johnny Carson?" Several weeks ago, as we anticipated the transition from the Book of Bamidbar to the Book of Dvarim, I reflected here together with you on the significance of the word avar, the Hebrew letters ayin, vet, resh. Aviva Zornberg highlights how many times Moses uses the word e'evra, "let me cross over into the promised land," a desire that's never fulfilled. These letters that mean crossover or pass also mean the past, also transgress, also pass through. Ivri, the Hebrew name for a Hebrew, signifies perhaps the one who is passing through. Are we Hebrews because we were always having to move from one place to another? Or because we are aware that our lifetime in this world is but a brief passing through? We are all Ivrim, passing through this amazing existence on this earth plane. Yet another word that describes a movement that is the theme of this holiday season is teshuva, or returning from exile. Our study of Rabbi Alan Liu's book has taught us to pay attention to the process of exile and return that is happening at every moment in our lives. We are constantly getting distracted and moving away from our connection with the present moment, with our loved ones, and with ourselves. We are always going into exile from being fully alive in each moment, and we are constantly returning, realigning breath, body, and mind with the present moment. We watch this happening in meditation. We are both crossing over, transforming, changing in every moment, and at the same time, returning home, returning to ourselves, and to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the unfolding of reality in each moment. Some of us have been trained in meditation by Vipassana or insight meditation teachers. Insight meditation has been easily integrated into secular wellness-focused practices like mindfulness-based stress reduction, not stress production, and other popular programs, because it does not have religious rituals as a core part of the practice. But what's the insight we gain from insight meditation? It's not the insight of thinking, of psychoanalyzing our problems or figuring things out. It is the experience we have when we sit still in silence The experience of everything arising, the itch we refrain from scratching, the impulse we feel the need to act on, the pleasant thought, the unpleasant thought, everything that arises, the in-breath, the out-breath, will pass. The insight is the experience of everything coming and going, and ultimately of all living things arising and passing, as it is our nature to do. In the Zen tradition, which does use prayer and chant, the same insight is more in your face. Every time we sit and meditate in Zen practice, we begin with the five remembrances. I am of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape having ill health. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. My actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand. The same insight about arising and passing is captured in one Hebrew phrase, a pithy Hebrew phrase, symbolized by three Hebrew letters, as we are reminded in a familiar story I told a couple of months ago about King Solomon's attempt to humble his most trusted minister, Benaiah ben Yehoiada, by asking him to perform an impossible task. Solomon gave Benaiah 6 months to find a ring with magic powers. The magic is that if a happy man looks at it, he becomes sad. And if a sad man looks at it, he becomes happy. Confident that no such ring existed, Solomon just wanted to give his minister a little taste of humility. So on the night before Sukkot, the night before the deadline, Benaiah was still unable to find the ring, but decided to take a walk in one of the poorest quarters of Jerusalem and pass by a merchant who had begun to set out the day's wares on a shabby carpet. Have you by any chance heard of a magic ring that makes the wearer forget his joy and the brokenhearted forget his sorrow? And then he watched the grandfather take a plain gold ring from his carpet and engrave something on it. And when Benaiah read the words on the ring, his face broke into a wide smile. So this ring made a worried, unhappy man very happy. As soon as Solomon read the inscription, the smile vanished from his face, proving the point. The jeweler had written three Hebrew letters on the gold band, Gimel, Zayin, Yud, which stand for the words Gam Ze Ya'avor, this too shall pass. At that moment, Solomon realized that all his wisdom and fabulous wealth and tremendous power were but fleeting things, for one day he would be nothing but dust. All religious traditions have developed a spiritual framework for this insight that, as far as we can tell, only humans and not most other animals have to struggle with. An awareness of our own mortality that is always there alongside the desire for immortality, to stay alive, be well, be strong and healthy forever. This mortality awareness may be the very reason for our having religions that, as far as we are aware, other animals don't have. Several weeks ago, when I gave a talk on the last parsha of Devarim, I shared Aviva Zornberg's commentary on the often repeated request of Moses to God, please let me cross over into the land. And Moses hears the response, Lo ta'avor, you will not cross over. Even as Moses is preparing the rest of the children of Israel to cross over into the land. So it was like once I was sensitized to the significance of this word, I began to see it everywhere. In Kol Nidre, which we'll be chanting on Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, we begin by convening a Beit Din, three judges to grant us permission to pray with the Avar Yanim. Here the word Avar seems to stand for transgression, a crossing of boundaries. We ask permission to fast and pray together with everyone who has sinned. That means ourselves alongside with everyone else because we are all imperfect. We have all missed the mark. We are all Avar Yonim in that sense of transgression. But perhaps we are also Avar Yonim, the ones who are just passing through, who are mortal, who experience impermanence. And last Shabbat, in our Slichot study with Rabbi Jessica Kate Meyer, we discussed the word Ma'avir. It was translated in that discussion as overlook, pass over, pardon. That discussion revolved for me around the difference between forgiving and just letting go, releasing oneself and the other from the grip of resentment and holding on to the memory of hurt. Ma'avir al midoti was understood in that discussion as generously overlooking, passing over the shortcomings of others. I found that helpful to think that whether or not I can truly forgive someone, I can still let go of the resentment and release myself and the other from that ongoing hostile connection, or at least I can try. In the Unetana Tokef, the word Ma'avirin is used in a familiar and important verse, Utshufa, Utshuva, Utsfila, Utsdaka, Ma'avarin, Et Ra, Hagzera. Translated by Alan Liu as Tshuva, turning, returning repentance, prayer, and righteous deeds, transform the evil of the decree, the judgment that some of us will die this year. In other words, our prayer, our devotional practice, and our acts of righteousness will not change the decree. They'll not change whether we live or die in the coming year. They will not change the external circumstances of our world. Rather, they will change us. So we can understand, as Rabbi Liu explains, that death is not a judgment against us for our evil, nor is death evil in itself. Rather, death is a part of this birth-life-death process that is the nature of all living things. By tshuva, turning toward, rather than away from the experience of being alive in each moment, by devotional practice and by ethical living, we experience the constant change and transformation of the birth, life, death process, not as judgment or punishment, but simply as the unfolding of reality. We experience the constant transformation as well as the continual return to Teshuvah. And last week on Shabbat morning, Reb Moshe noted the words, L'shana tova means, those words mean wishing you a good change, because l'shanot means to change. So here we are in a moment of continual change and transformation and also constant return. We complete and begin in the same moment the journey through the holiday cycle. 1 year ends and one begins in the same moment. And with the Torah cycle, we finish reading the Torah and start at the beginning again in the same moment. along with the seasonal and agricultural cycles and the spinning circles of what Reb Moshe calls the Jewish gyroscope that keeps us in balance at the same time that we're constantly revolving. So I wanted to be sure to leave time to talk about all of us, to talk about what is changing, what is transforming, what is returning, what is crossing over for each of us at this moment.